Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Good to see you. I tell you what, I'm just, praise God, we're in March. It's still snowing, though. What is up? Time change next week. We're boycotting it, and it still might be snowing. Easter in a few weeks, and it still might be snowing. I don't know. But we're glad that you're here today. Are you glad to be in the house of God?
Yeah.
Amen. Thank you for about five of you who are glad. The other ones, don't worry. Hopefully, this is going to be a great experience for you. And if you're a guest with us today, we give you anonymity, which basically means hang out and hide out, make yourself at home. We're not going to ask you to say or do anything to draw attention to yourself. We're just glad to have you here. We want you to have a great experience because we believe that Jesus is the real deal. We don't have to pressure sell them or quick sell them. We just want you to hang out, hide out, and experience the Lord for yourself in a real tangible way, because we're not into religion around here, which we define as man's rules to get to God. We're into a real relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. And so we want this to be a great experience for you today. Amen. All right, that's about 12 of you happy about that. The rest are still waking up. We've been doing a series called Going Up. You know, the Lord wants, God, your Heavenly Father wants us to go up in life. He doesn't want you to stay where you're at. He wants you to progressively grow. Have you noticed that? It doesn't matter in your walk with Him, in your knowledge of Him, in your relationship with Him. He wants you to grow. In life in general, He wants us to grow. He wants us to go up to the next level, to keep going up. The Bible tells us we go from faith to faith. And to me, I see that as a stair step. Not something that we hit at a certain peak moments of life and then come back down and saying, okay, this is where reality is for me. And I occasionally hit a high and I come right back down to the norm. I think that God wants to do such amazing work, not only in us, but through us, that our next level can be our new norm. Where all of a sudden that we begin to live what I call the third box, which is living beyond yourself. So you can call it, in the Bible, it's called living by faith, which is not a crisis management mindset, but literally living beyond your own limitations. And throughout Scripture, we see that time and time again. From one example, one story, it doesn't matter if it's Abraham, it doesn't matter if it's Moses, it doesn't matter if it's David, Goliath. You see story after story, the list goes on and on of people that we read about. But really, one key element, these are people who live beyond themselves, beyond their limitation. There's no way David could have killed that Goliath on his own. There's no way Moses could have delivered Israel again from Pharaoh's control on his own. That was way beyond him. And what's cool is that Jeremiah tells us that God has great plans for each and every one of us. In John 10:10, Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and life more abundantly. We call it around here dynamic living or a dynamic life. You call it living beyond your limitation, living your best life that is beyond what you can do that God has for you, that you come to the place in realization that it's just not you, it's Him. See, we believe that God wants you to be successful. Not so that you get credit, that He gets credit. Your life can be a great billboard to declare the goodness of your Heavenly Father. Did you hear me? And we see that even in Hebrews chapter 1. This is a quick review. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, it says that Jesus was, in the King's English, it says, the expressed image. Another translation says that Jesus was a reflection of the nature, character, and ability of the Father. So wherever He went, He said Himself, I don't do what I want to do. I'm doing what the Father wants. I say what the Father is saying. The works that I do are not me. It's the Father doing the works. And what He was trying to get and communicate to the disciples was that it's the Father. I'm living beyond just what I can do. I'm living a level of faith that it's the Father doing the work. And that's so important because He told the disciples, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. They were trying to look from the outward. He's trying to demonstrate the goodness of the Father, the nature, character of the Father, and also the ability of God. And He wants us to do the same because He said, I am the light of the world, but He didn't stop there. We all know the Scripture. He said, now you're the light of the world. That means that our lives can be a billboard that demonstrates the nature and the ability of God so that those who come across our path in life can know that, hey, this thing about Jesus is just not a religious thing. It's just not a legalistic thing. It's just not a what you do on Sunday thing. This is a real deal, and it's changed this person's life. And when people see that kind of change in your life, when they see you living beyond yourself, when they begin to see you, because the Bible says it's the goodness of God that draws people to repentance. Some people come to God because they're in desperation and they're having a crisis. Well, praise God that he's there for them. But you can also turn the hearts of people toward your Father, Heavenly Father, by demonstrating his goodness. Do you see that? And so I really believe with all my heart that your Heavenly Father has a great, dynamic life, call it whatever you want, for each and every one of us. Though it's uniquely different, it's not that we all have to line up and match. Nobody matches. Your fingerprints don't match, right? Somehow in the church world, we've got the idea that to obey God, we all have to conform to a specific look or specific sound or specific way of talking or specific way of our acting or specific way of how we do our music. And it doesn't have to be that way. God didn't intend it that way. You're all unique, equally important, uniquely different. And God creates a destiny for all of us. And it's living literally beyond what your maximum ability. And God wants you to get educated. Praise God for education. Praise God for training. Praise God for discipline. Praise God for discovering your talent and maximizing. All those things are good, and we need to do that. But your Heavenly Father wants us to realize that no matter what that maximum is for any of us, there's still a whole level above us that he wants to bring us to so that we can realize it's him. In fact, the Bible says it this way. We have this treasure, referring to the anointing and presence and power of God. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. That's our humanity. We have this treasure in earthen vessels that the glory would go to God and not us. So when people look around and say, how in the world can you do that? The glory goes to God. We're advertising Jesus in our everyday life. We're letting light shine in the darkness of our world that we come in contact with. Just not a Sunday thing. Amen? Now, Jesus began to teach a little more about this, and we're calling a great life or greatness because it's a natural dynamic that God wants us to have. It's a human nature for us to want to have in life. Everybody wants to do great things or to be a great person or have a great marriage or have a great career or achieve greatness in some area. But he began to teach the disciples how to achieve what God the Father wants, but not doing it incorrectly. Because even the scribes and the Pharisees, though they were the religious authorities of their day, took on the wrong path. Folks, that happens in the church world a lot. Just because someone might have a prominent name doesn't mean they're right. Challenge everything with the Word of God. And we found out that one of the things, and this is out of Matthew 23, if you want to start turning there, we're going to end up there eventually. In Matthew 23, he said, listen, they're in position of authority, so listen to their teachings and obey what the word says, but don't practice what they preach. Because they like prominence. They like to be recognized in public places. They like to have the seat of honor at any party. They like to be the one of center of attention. Isn't that amazing? And that's human nature at first, isn't it? I mean, how many of you have young children? Nobody has children around here. Yeah, it's like, oh, Jesus, help us. Whose kids are we ministering to? Because I know there's a bunch of them down there. It's amazing how it's a natural human tendency for children to wrap the world around them, or they become the center of attention. Selfishness doesn't have to be taught. Selflessness has to be taught. The world all wrapped around yourself doesn't have to be taught. It's a natural tendency, a human tendency to think it's all about me. And I don't know if you remember this. I don't know if this ever happened to you, but I can remember those moments of when someone said, listen, it's not all about you. You know what I mean? The world's not wrapped around you. You got to realize. I know you want it, but that doesn't mean you should get it. That's a tough lesson to learn. And sometimes, even in the church world, we love Jesus, but we haven't learned that lesson. The scribes and the Pharisees hadn't learned that lesson yet. They still thought it was about them. So everything they did, the motivation was me, 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 me. And when the motivation is internal of just me, what makes me feel better, what makes me look better, what makes me better, what makes me feel better, all of a sudden we can go down the wrong path. Though we think we're going toward a path of greatness, we can find ourselves going down a wrong path of destruction. Because the Bible says pride comes before fall. Nobody goes down a path to saying, hey, I can't wait to get to the end of this journey because I'm going to crash and burn and it's going to be a mess. Right? And nobody looks at it and says, I know this is the path that's going to destroy everything. No, Proverbs says that every man's ways, every man's life is right in their own eyes. Do you realize that? People's perspective of how they live, how they make decisions, the path they're on is right to them in their own eyes. But it might be right in your eyes, but wrong in God's eyes. That's why we got to keep looking to the Word and be open and say, Lord, I got to open myself up. Show me if I'm on the wrong path, because I don't know about you. I don't want to spend all my energy and all my money and all my life to get to the end of a path only to find out I was on the wrong highway. Can you imagine? You're trying to get to Florida and you find yourself in a whole different other state. I mean, you're trying to do something great with life only to find out that you were on the wrong path. And the scribes and Pharisees were on the wrong highway, Jesus is basically saying. Because it's not about, when you live a life, when you're trying to build a great life, if you build it with the idea of, I want a great life so everybody just talks good about me and everybody applauds me and everybody waits on me and everybody opens the door for me, wrong motivation. Wrong motivation, wrong highway. And you'll crash and burn. Though you might have great moments or opportunities, or you can maybe force the issue and find yourself in a great situation, it doesn't last. Because it can't last. It's on the wrong path. Pride comes before fall. God's word is sure. That means God's word always ends up being the final and right answer. You can't twist it for your means or for your time or for your age group and say, well, I know what the Bible says, but this is different for me. There's no such thing. God's principles work from generation to generation. Did you hear me? Too many times we look at the Bible and say, yeah, but God didn't understand what I'm dealing with. He understands. You don't understand what he's seeing. But he sees all of it. And he's trying to protect us. And so when we live a life of just trying to do great things because we want people to honor us, and there's nothing wrong with honor. It's just the perspective. Like I said, the one minister said he knew something was going south way before anybody else did, because as he looked back over his ministry that became a national ministry and then crumbled, he said, he said at one point he was appreciative. He thanked people when they would open the door. But at one time, on the inside of his heart, he began to expect people to open the door. See, you don't always see it on the outside. It starts on the inside. It's the attitude, this perspective. And when you have the wrong perspective, all of a sudden you begin to expect people to do stuff for you to make you look and feel better. And 1 Corinthians is a whole chapter. Write that down. Study that out. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we know it as a book of love, but it starts off with some great instructions that you can do the greatest things. You can give to the poor, you can sell everything, you can sacrifice, but if you do it for the wrong motivation, it's worthless. It doesn't last. And we know that motivation should be love. And that brings us to what Jesus said. The two greatest commandments is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. If what we do for people is just so that we look good, then God will let you minister to them and so they can get a benefit, but you lose the reward. It's not what's really the way it should work, because it's not all about, we're not the center of the universe. Oh, we so want to be. We sure would like to be. We wish God would change it just for us. But the reality is we're not the center. He, Jesus, should be the center. And what we do, we should be out of motivation to help people, not so that they applaud us, but so that they can be better. And that's why a key phrase in this whole series, is building greatness in our lives begins by building greatness in the lives of others. Let me say that again. I challenge you to write that down and keep it in front of you this series. Building greatness in our lives begins by building greatness in the lives of others. You want to build a great life? Begin to look at other people and building greatness in the lives of other people. Building greatness in the lives of other people. The scribes and Pharisees not only wanted to do it because they liked to be center of attention, they thought the world was revolving around them, but we see in Matthew 23, verse 5, the first part is Jesus says, everything they do was done for men to see. That's another challenge. If what we do in investing in people, in what we do in building greatness in people is only to be recognized by people, we're on the wrong path. We're on the wrong path. I like to think of it this way. I love boxing, great sport. And this phrase always stuck with me. Champions aren't made in the ring, they're discovered in the ring. A champion is discovered in the battle, but they're not made in the battle. They're made in that routine. They're made behind the scenes when nobody sees it, and they're doing what they need to do to build and become. See, we want God to thrust the greatness upon us, and then we'll rise to the occasion. It doesn't work that way. And when those things happen, many times people crash and burn. Joseph is a great example. Just a little colt brought such pride and arrogance, it ticked his brothers so, ticked them off so much that they wanted to kill him. Threw him in a pit. Sold him into slavery. But what a colt did to damage his life and his perspective because his attitude was wrong, down the road, being the second most powerful person in the most powerful nation in the world, he had come to a place realizing it wasn't about him. It was all about doing what God wanted. And now his attitude has changed. Because if Joseph would have maintained the wrong attitude, if a coat would have brought him that much pride, how much would the kingdom brought to him? And some people, because if you're an A-type personality, I tend to be that way. I want things, I want it now, right? I mean, anytime I go through a drive-thru to get lunch and they tell me, just park over there, we'll bring it to you, I always go through my mental little thing of, it is fast food, right? It is a drive-thru, right? If I wanted to sit and wait, I'd go home and make it myself. You know what I mean? It's like, come on, you know what I'm talking about. Just shake your head. I don't care if it's hot, just I want it fast. It don't matter. I want it now. And man, when we have that opportunity to walk through those doors of opportunity, we want it now. Sometimes we can walk through it on our own. We can walk through it before it's time. And we find ourselves in places that we can't even maintain it because we did it on our own instead of following God. Joseph went through a process because he didn't start with the right attitude. God had to get the bad attitude out of his life so that when he was at the position of power, or it might be for you, it might be a position of influence. It might be a great position of power. It might be a great position of having great wealth. Great visibility, a great influence on some future generation, whatever it might be. For us to handle it well, we got to realize it's not about us, and it's not to be seen. If you wait for the spotlight to be on you before you do it, you'll never do it. Well, if they would recognize me a little more, that's a tough wake up call for all of us. That's a tough wake-up call. Well, let's look in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 1 through 4. Let me read this out of New Living. Are you with me today? Yes. It says, watch out. I like this translation. Watch out. Don't do your good deeds publicly to be admired of others. That's a challenge to developing a great life. We start thinking the key is recognition to be admired by others. And surely you can do marketing and create where everybody has a perception of you so they admire you, hoping that that will get you to the next level. But once you get to the next level, now what? Because your gift might take you where your character can't keep you. Without the grace of God, you'd have to stand on your own. And if you don't crumble on the outside, you will eventually crumble on the inside. Because there's many people that seem like they have it all, but on the inside, they're falling apart. Watch out. Don't do your good deeds publicly to be admired by others. For you will lose the reward from your heavenly Father. When you give to someone in need, don't do as the hypocrites do, blowing trumpets in the synagogue and streets to call attention to their acts of charity. I tell you the truth, they have received all the reward they will ever get. But when you give to someone in need, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Give your gifts in private, and your Father who sees everything will reward you. Now I want you to notice something. Thank you. So what is God trying to communicate to us? What is the Lord trying to say to us? And he's saying, listen, if it's all about just getting recognition, do you know what? The recognition you get is the reward that you'll get. That's it. But when you do stuff when nobody sees it, why would anybody do something good for somebody if nobody else recognized it? maybe to help somebody else out. Maybe just to show mercy and love and compassion to someone. Not to get their name on a board, not to get their name as a shout out, not to get recognized, not to get people talking about, did you hear what they did? It takes character to be amongst a group of people who are bragging about their achievements and to stand there quietly and say, good for you, and not tell your own. But in the world system, people brag about their achievements. They'll brag about other people's achievements and say they did it. And if they don't know anybody who's done anything great, they'll make it up because they watched it on a movie one time. Come on, somebody. Have you ever had someone, they tell you, and you're like, that's awesome. And as you dug deeper into the situation, you found out it's not near as good as they said. Why do we do that? It's this sense of wanting people to recognize us, and it comes out of insecurity, which is based in fear, which connects us to pride, which brings us down a path of destruction. And Jesus said, listen, if what you're doing is just to get recognition, that's your reward. But if you do it for the right reason, and you're trying to love people, you're trying to invest in people, you're trying to help people, then realize your Heavenly Father, I love this, your Heavenly Father sees everything. He sees it all. One place he says, listen, if you give a cup of cold water drink to a child, your Heavenly Father sees it. There's a reward. Can you imagine that all of a sudden during a message, someone shouts out, wait a minute. I want everybody to know I just picked up this little girl that was at the water fountain that couldn't get up there and get a drink. So I picked her up a little, helped her get a drink. You want to say, are you crazy? Shut up. I mean, good for you. Sit down. No big deal. But do you know to your Heavenly Father, that's a big deal. And when we learn to realize, number one, that he sees everything. And begin to see people as not someone we can get something from, but at opportunities that God can bring in our path to invest in. Because what we're doing as ministers, and the key verse of this whole thing, Jesus said, if you want to be great, be a servant, which we understand now, it means to be a minister, someone who follows the commands of another. And it's not following everybody's instruction, it's following his instruction as he shows us what to do. And as we obey him, we got to realize that we're ministering, we're serving for an audience of one, and that what we do, nobody else might know, but he sees it. Because the devil will, if you minister for any length of time, there will be seasons of your life where you will feel unrecognized, that no one notices you, and why am I doing this? And it might be a ministry that no one sees. It might be a ministry that people don't recognize as important, but that's irrelevant because it doesn't matter. It doesn't mean you should do it because people think it's important. You should do it because God leads you to do it, and when you do it and God shows you to do it, it's important, and he sees it, and you will be rewarded. I so appreciate, even in our children's ministry, and even especially the women who minister to the babies and changing those diapers, they could look at that from the natural and saying, why am I changing diapers? Why am I doing this? This doesn't seem like it gets, because no one comes up and says, 14 diapers changed the last hour. Woohoo! Good for you. There's no limelight on this side of eternity. But I tell you, one day when we get to heaven, they'll stand before their Father. And I guarantee you, the Lord will stand up and applaud and say, you did what I asked you to do. Did you hear me? And I think it's the most amazing thing because it's a ministry that doesn't get recognized, and it seems like there's a lot of energy that has to go toward it. But I heard one person saying it stuck with me. And for any of you who are working in the children's ministry, let me just throw this at you. Those children will have a lot of teachers in their life, but you're the first one. What a great honor you have. What a great honor you have. What a great honor. It could be working in the parking. You know what I mean? And when it's days that it's cold, I tell you what, I so applaud those men and women who are out there directing traffic, because from the natural, that doesn't seem to be the thing to do when there's a blizzard out and it's 20 below, right? And we're all pulling in and saying, "Whoo! I can't wait to get inside." And they're standing out there directing people to park. In the natural, we don't go out there and say, thank you, parking ministry, until our car gets dinged because someone parked too close, and then we're all upset. But I'll tell you what, when they get to heaven, I guarantee you, the Father will say, thank you for ministering. Thank you for doing what I asked you to do. And to me, it's a huge ministry. Why? Because more than cars, it's the first impression. Do you realize most people make their perspective of something in those first impressions? And people that pull onto our property are a lot to come to church that don't know Jesus and are in that whole phase of, I wonder if this is the real deal. I wonder if they're going to reject me. I wonder what this is about. I wonder if these people are nice. I wonder if these people are crazy. Come on, we have a whole gamut of what could be happening in the walls of a church that goes through the mind of someone who's never been. And when they come to the lot and they're driving on there, the first people they see is not the pastor, it's not the singers, it's the people in the parking lot that are saying, go ahead and park here, and glad to have you, and smiling, and say, we're glad you're here, and say, have a great day, enjoy yourself today, and all those things make a big difference. They literally are preaching the gospel before they get in the building. That's a big deal. That's a big deal. Not doing it because their name's on the board, because it's not. Not doing it because we applaud them, but I'll tell you what, one day when they get to heaven, I guarantee you. And the list goes on. I'm telling you, the list goes on, that we think something great has to be spectacular. God says something great will be significant. It might not be seen by others. It might not make it on the 6 o'clock news. But in eternity of eternities, God says, I'm writing this one down. And I remember. Because what we do it as unto the Lord. What we do is unto the Lord. What we do is unto the Lord. Let me ask you this. What are you doing as unto the Lord? Do you know what here's a human tendency. And this branches out so many levels, so I never want to make it sound like it's all in one box. But today we're going to talk it this way. Many times we look for the great moments, the great opportunities. Man, just that one encounter with that one meeting with that one person that changes everything, and now all of a sudden your income's three times, or you got a lot better job, or you have this opportunity. In the music or in the media arts, they call it being discovered. You know what I mean? You're just doing it because one day you can be discovered. You go from no one knowing you to everybody knowing you. Danger with that. But we got this mindset of looking for that one break. I just got to get that break. And we can look at David's life. What a great story. David goes from, he was anointed by the prophet and sent back out to the sheep. Do you know some theologians believe that David was a result of his dad, Jesse, having an affair? And where these scholars get that idea is that David penned, I was conceived in iniquity. Which would give some practical explanation when you have a son that you're trying to hide. And the prophet says, is this all the sons? Oh, yeah, that's all of them. He knew that wasn't all of them. Why would he do that to David? Maybe because he was still embarrassed. Isn't it amazing how God can take our mistakes and our embarrassments and turn them around? That's another story for another time. But you know what's amazing? We think of David, he gets before Goliath, he says, isn't there a cause? And we know he goes and talks to his brothers, he talks to the king, he gets his five smooth stones, he's got his sling, he's got his staff, he charges the king, charges Goliath. He does the first stone, and we know it's a God deal because no one's that accurate. If it was us, we'd have taken bring me a truckload, back that thing up, beep, 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 beep. Now don't you move. Because we know eventually if we throw enough stones, we're going to get lucky in the mix. Right? But David charges Goliath. He kills Goliath. He cuts his head off. David's world has changed. His world has changed. He's gone from being a nobody that his father ignored to being recognized by the king and everybody else. His world has totally changed. And he's moved another big step toward the promise of God of being king. But do you know what brought him? Think about this. Do you know what brought him to that opportunity? We miss out on sometimes the details because we read too fast. Do you know what brought him to that opportunity? Obeying a simple, non-important, non-spectacular instruction of his father. David, take this food and go feed your brothers. He could have looked at it and said, don't you know I'm anointed to be king and I'm only going to take king opportunities. Boy, that happens in the church world. Don't you know I'm anointed? And I only do anointed opportunities. I only do grand opportunities. God's got a great future for me. He's told me. And I don't do anything that's not great. That's beneath me. Okay. And how many great God moments have we missed? Because we didn't do the God instruction of just simply feeding our brothers. It doesn't look pretty. It's not shiny. It's not spectacular. But it was significant. All he was doing is following a simple instruction. That's like, and one of the things I encourage you, when you're focused on, it's just not about me and helping me get to destiny, but it's me just also feeding those around me, feeding my brothers. When you're focused on feeding the body of Christ, feeding your brothers and sisters in the Lord, reaching out and touching. And that's a key element. Even in ministry, you might look and say, what am I doing on Sunday? Well, I'm not doing much because I'm waiting for that grand opportunity. You could be missing out. Your world's too small in perspective. Start serving where the opportunities that God shows you. Start feeding your brothers. And though it doesn't look spectacular, I guarantee you, in the journey, watch what happens, because the Bible says he who is faithful in the little things will be faithful in the big things. We wait for the big things to show our faithfulness. And God says, I'll figure out and discover you. I'll discover your faithfulness in the small things, in the common routine things. How powerful. Are you feeding your brothers? One of the things I'm encouraged to do is to be in volunteering. And if you're a guest with us and from out of town, when you go back to your home church, I challenge you, get involved. Get involved. Well, they're just not giving me an opportunity that matches my potential. Could be a reason for that. Because maybe you haven't proved that you could be faithful in the little things. Faithful in the little things. Because the Bible says your gift will make room for you. I'm a firm believer. You just get involved. It's the power of as they were doing it, as David was moving. You see this throughout Scripture. As Peter is walking, God gave him an opportunity to heal the man at the gate. As they were doing stuff, we start looking at things and saying, I don't see anything big in here. I'll leave it alone. God says, you obey what I show you to do. And as you get going, as you're doing it, as you're building faithfulness, it might be changing diapers. It might be working with children. It might be parking, greeting, ushering. The list goes on and on. It could be working in the food pantry. And no one knows that you're in the food pantry putting boxes together and lugging them around so that families that don't have any food can be fed. And you think, no one sees that this is not what I'm made up to become. No, but it's a part of the journey to develop in you so that you can handle the greatness that's ahead of you. Amen. Who are you feeding? Let's keep that mindset. When we serve, we're coming together to be part of something bigger than ourselves, to feed other brothers and sisters in God, to introduce Christ to people, to minister, to add value, to bring greatness to others. Not so that we can be considered great, but so we can do it before our Father. Because we look unto Jesus, the author and finisher. Everything we do is unto the Lord. And what people don't see, I guarantee your Heavenly Father sees. He'll reward you, not only in eternity, he'll reward you and develop you. And on that journey, you'll begin to discover the God moments that you would have never seen if you weren't simply doing the God instructions of your everyday life. Amen? Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. God bless you.